There are millions, billions of people out there who just don't talk about entities, don't think about entities, who are just blindly going about their business, as far as we know. As instruments, I mean, we could just say they're acting unconsciously and they're driven by their unconscious. That's the psychoanalytical model. But we're here to talk within a different context, which is that of entities. So there's all those people. And then there are those of us who are actually willing to talk about and acknowledge it. But then the question is again, well, what then? I mean, how does, because when you start talking about something, you realize that we, as Greg was articulating, we barely have the tools or the language to talk about it, and we certainly don't. So we can't fully diagnose the situation, so we can't come up with the solution by talking or thinking about it. And then, as part of that, and this is goes double, pun intended, at the last minute, if it's true that language, in a certain sense, is a delivery device for Trojan horse for this foreign or alien intelligence, that interesting, I lost the thread there. Then we can't really use language primarily, because if we do, then we're being used by the entities. Whenever we use language, English language, or any kind of earth language, is the devil's currency. So whenever we use language, we're being used by it. This is William Burroughs' view, actually, language, the language virus. Right? So, and there's a sort of Christian correlation here with demons. I quoted C.S. Lewis in 60 Maps of Hell. The demons, if they can't get us to ignore them and forget they exist or disbelieve in them, and so never refer to them, then they want us to obsess over them. They want to be sure that they define the terms by which we do address their existence. And this making me think of the Chinese finger trap that Susie was talking about in Kate's question, because occultism, as far as I understand it throughout history, and this is, I got engaged at this level, and it's in Castaneda too. It deals with the entities by making deals with the entities. It tries to negotiate with them, it tries to put them to work, it tries to use them and employ them so that at least these unconscious forces become more conscious, and we can make them subject to our will. It's the magician's circle and all that. But that doesn't seem to be the solution. So ignoring them isn't the solution. Trying to push them out or exercise them or doesn't seem to be the solution. And trying to impose one's will, get them to work for us, doesn't seem to be the solution. Anyway, I didn't quite finish the point, which was that, what's the third way between not ignoring them and just talking about them and trying to approach this as just any other problem that we can work out intellectually and then come up with some practical solution? What's the third way? It seems to me that. And I'm trying to practice this and not just preach it, that it has to do with observation, with close observation of the ways in which we're not ourselves and the ways in which these entities are present here and now, every moment of our lives, and are influencing our potentially our every move. And we're going to have moments of pure spontaneity in which what Greg referred to as the fundamental force of existence, that's the pre-exists entities even, can come through and can guide us. It's always coming in, that soul signal, but it keeps getting hacked into by all of these fragments and entities and hungry ghosts and ancestral influences and demons and whatnot. So it seems to me that the large portion of the work is observation. And well, so here's the trap with talking about entities, that it's very captivating to the mind. I'm very aware of this trap for myself, and this is where the concern about writing a book comes in at all, is that it's a fascinating subject. And that kind of fascination is, I would say, it's like a spell. I mean, one of the ways I could describe it is that it gives me control over my environment. If my environment becomes a book, this is why people get hooked in computers. It's not just they're getting all these dopamine hits because of this clickbait and that clickbait. It's that they have total control over their environment. They go where they want to go. They click here, they click there. Of course they don't. They're being controlled. They're being manipulated by the algorithms. And so it's a good metaphor for how the entities operate here. But A, they get to follow their impulses and click on what they think they want that fascinates them. And B, that's the same thing said differently, they have the experience of having control over their responses and how they feel. So it's like drug addiction. People take drugs because they know exactly how they're going to feel once they've strapped their arm up and filled the syringe and stuck it in the arm. Bang, they're off. The whole ritual leading up to that is part of the attraction. It isn't just they get high, but they've got all these different elements they control and maintain. I'm talking my brother here because he told me about this. And so that's it. The drug addict has his environment under control. He knows where to get the drugs. He knows how to prepare them. He knows how to take them, and then he knows how he's going to feel afterwards, and he knows how he's going to feel when he comes down. He's got the whole thing covered, except of course that he's an addict and he can't live a normal life and he's going to end up dead. But that's the sort of hidden cost of these things. So with the internet, same kind of thing going on. And so for me, writing a book, I'm aware that that's a real high, that's a real appeal of it for me, is that this is my world and I can control every element within it. And I think that that kind of hunger for power and control is a reflection of the double's mind, of the entity mind that we're talking about.
Isn't that a fundamental human impulse, control over the environment? Man make fire, man want power. And it's the thing that people struggle with in their day-to-day life. If they feel they don't have control over their environment, isn't that what you look out the window? Isn't that what all this is about? Control over the environment, domination. And thinking about some of the about entities is a very disturbing reminder that control is a fantasy, potentially, superficially at least.
Well, right. And if, in fact, the only way we can have the illusion of control is if we're willing to let ourselves be controlled. That's what I got from that. If we let the entities take us over and control us, and we give them what they want and they give us what we want, which is we have the illusion of being in control because we're allowing ourselves to be controlled by something that's powerful.
Yeah, and that, from in my mind, that taps into the transhumanist agenda, that idea, which I see just as a dead end, potentially a literal dead end, in terms of control fantasies, God fantasies.
Absolutely, and which is the theme of the book. The theme of the book, yeah.
I think you were really onto it when you were saying the key thing is observation and awareness, and